Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way and the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Hey, this is Hal. Real quick, if you're listening online, we're shutting the computer down, but we'll get it right back up. You should not miss Peter B.
By the May family, and features delicious, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor their authentic
tonight, so enjoy it. Here are some temperatures for the Central Coast. Right now, Big Sur is 60 degrees, Monterey is 57 degrees, Salinas 61 degrees, Santa Cruz 63, and Gilroy is 63 degrees. That's traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a wonderful afternoon and stay with us. The Peter B. Collins Show will be right back.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, celebrating Veterans Day.
To you at this moment, but that's all that matters to me. How are you?
It's 22 minutes after the hour here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're working to track down Pete McCloskey to talk with him here on the occasion of Veterans Day. And if you don't know who Pete McCloskey is, I would like you to discover him. And in fact, I respect and admire this man so much that I wrote a blog post that is right now on the homepage at airamerica.com. And you can check that out. I'll be back on Air America tonight, sitting in for John Elliott. That's 8 to 10 o'clock Pacific time, 11 to 1 Eastern time. And next week I'll be on Air America in the early morning California time, 6 to 9 a.m., sitting in for Lionel. But enough about me and Air America. I'd like you to go to the website and read the post that I wrote, because Pete has always impressed me as a true warrior and a man who was willing to fight for the right things. He served in the Navy at the end of World War II and rose to the rank of colonel, leading Marine combat units in Korea in the early 50s. Then he came back and ended up in the Congress, where he spent 16 years as a moderate Republican. And he repeatedly took on his own leadership, including Richard Nixon, with a very strong opposition to the Vietnam War. And he was the first Republican to call for Nixon's impeachment. And back in 06, he was so upset by the Bush neocons and the war in Iraq that he came out of retirement to run for Congress. And he contributed to the defeat of Richard Pombo, who had served for many years in the Central Valley here in California. Pete McCloskey joins me now here on Veterans Day. Pete, thank you for your service, and thank you for the example you set for many Americans.
Hey, Pete. Peter, how are you?
I'm doing well, and it's nice to talk to you, young man.
Well, I've been out in the field of disking my olive orchard and getting ready to pick olives to make olive oil.
Oh, sounds
the world cool. is good with Obama in the White House.
Well, I was just kind of working through your history as I was waiting to get you on the line, and I hadn't gotten to the part where in 2007 you left the Republican Party in disgust and registered as a Democrat.
Peter, I did that because for 6 years the Congress, under its Republican leadership, had had no congressional oversight, and the country is hurt by it. The Congress should be having oversight, whoever's in power, and the Republicans just refused to hold any on Bush. And when the Democrats took power in 2007 and started holding these hearings, I kept seeing these Republican congressmen jump up and say, this is a witch hunt. We shouldn't be checking to see what the administration is doing. And I finally got so fed up, I registered as a Democrat.
And how does it feel?
Well, you know, I'm sure when I was in the Congress, Peter, for 15 years, we had 36 congressmen indicted. 35 of the 36 were Democrats. They were corrupted by the power, and the Republicans have been now corrupted by the power. And sooner or later, if the Democrats have power too long, power will corrupt them too. But for the moment, Obama and the Democrats in the Congress, I think, represent a real hope.
Yeah. And specifically about Iraq, what do you think Obama will do? Is he going to lead this effort, or is he going to follow the Maliki government, which essentially has set the timeline for all U.S. troops to be out by the end of 2011?
Well, I don't know what he'll do. I think right now, in the next 3 months, he's listening to the very best minds on this subject, from Colin Powell to probably George Shultz, the former Secretary of State, and I think that he recognizes that we shouldn't be spending $10 billion a year over there, and we're not very good at occupying a foreign country, and they're going to have to govern themselves. And I expect that he will get out sooner rather than later. But, you know, he's president of the whole world now, and what he does, I know he'll be well thought out.
Yeah. And what about Afghanistan? I don't feel he has thought that out well enough. Because I do understand that we've lost more American lives there than in Iraq this year, but that is not the instant reason to just simply say we've got to put more American troops there. It's an unoccupiable country, and the complications with the Taliban and Al-Qaeda make it very difficult to imagine putting six-figure numbers of American troops into Afghanistan and expecting that we could actually control the nation.
Again, I haven't got any prediction. I think that they'll make one heck of an effort to try to find Al-Qaeda in either Pakistan or Afghanistan, but that's not a country you can occupy either. As the Soviets found out, I don't think it's been occupied since Attila the Hun went through there, but those people are themselves, and we just don't occupy countries very well, whether it's Vietnam or Iraq or anywhere else, and I would expect that he'll take a long, hard look at Afghanistan, and after an initial effort, we might pull out of there, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, and he has articulated a more than military strategy. I don't want to oversimplify what Obama has talked about, but in particular about putting more troops there, I'd like to see a real open debate about it. I'd like to see a clear mission and an exit strategy, and if I sound like Colin Powell, well, okay.
Well, my guess is that starting out as president, he wants to have a transparent presidency because it's been so bad under Nixon and Bush. So much has been secret. So much has been held in secrecy. I think he's going to want the people with him and the world with him, and that's going to take some open discussion. I don't know which way he's going to go, but the guy's probably as smart as any president we've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
He listens to people, and he's got great advisors. When he said that he was looking to Jim Jones, a former general in the Marine Corps, for advice, Jim Jones is probably the smartest, ablest general the Marine Corps has had in years.
Mm-hmm. Well, Pete, I just want to thank you for joining us today. I wanted to single you out for praise, and if you can handle it, go to airamerica.com. I put up a blog post there about you, Pete McCloskey, and your service to the United States.
Well, Peter, I've served under 10 presidents, 5 Democrats, 5 Republicans, either in a civilian or a military capacity. I enlisted in World War II to fight the Japanese with the Chinese as our allies, and 6 years later I landed in Korea to fight the Chinese with the Japanese as our allies. So
yeah.
I just any veteran, particularly combat veteran, is not going to want to see us go to war easily. And that's the hope that Obama will lead us back to sort of...
Pete McCloskey, thank you very much, sir.
All right, Peter. Bye.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Would you buy a new car from this company? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. If you people don't start buying cars soon, the U.S. auto industry is going to start disappearing. 1,000 dealerships closed already. Sales down 32% from a year ago. GM planning to close 4 plants at stock below $4 a share. President-elect Obama, according to Democratic sources, wants President Bush to bail out GM before it goes bankrupt, because if it does, that could mean 2.5 million additional layoffs. But how exactly would a bailout work? People don't want big cars. They want cars that get more than 30 miles a gallon, and American car companies won't have a lot of those until next year. Meanwhile, foreign car companies like Honda, Toyota, Volkswagen, and Kia are opening new plants here and in Canada, which will be able to build lots of cars getting more than 30 miles a gallon, and build them without the same union rules and health care costs that GM has to live with. So the result of a bailout would be to keep GM building cars it probably won't be able to make any money on. Of course, the really strange thing about all this is that some of the same members of Congress who now want to bail out the U.S. auto industry are the ones who for years told the government to quit forcing Detroit to build high-mileage cars. It'd be too expensive. It would cost jobs. Now they want subsidies so that Detroit can build high-mileage cars. Of course, high-mileage or not, America just doesn't want more cars right now. In fact, based on the 8% increase in sales just reported, what America really wants is the McDonald's Southern-style chicken sandwich. But that might require quite a bit of retooling, I'm afraid. Now this.
Who's always there for you? Your mum? Maybe, yeah, but sometimes she's a bit chatty with you. Oi, when are you going to get a girlfriend business? Now, GEICO, they're always there for you. They have been for over 70 years. They insure over 8 million policyholders, and their customer satisfaction is at 97%. With GEICO service, no wonder it's the third largest automobile insurance company. Your mum might cook better, but everything else... it's a very close call.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Cornucopia Landscaping in Santa Cruz is a complete design, installation, and maintenance company. Cornucopia Landscaping specializes in water-saving gardens which retain a lush appearance. You can have fruit trees, grapevines, fresh vegetables, and many beautiful ornamental plants while using very little water. In fact, an entire cornucopia landscaping garden sips only as much water in a season as a lawn of equal size gulps down in 1 week. Drip irrigation is the key to a water-saving garden. Are you looking for a beautiful flagstone pathway? Cornucopia Landscaping builds decks, patios, arbors, fences, retaining walls, planter boxes, and many other custom-built wooden structures. Serving Santa Cruz County since 1996. For more information or consultation, call Davis at 831-335-1209. That's 335-1209. That number again is 335-1209.
This is the Media Matters Minute. I'm Ben Fischel. Our top item today on ABC's The View, Elizabeth Hasselbeck and Sherry Shepard both incorrectly suggested that without Proposition 8, a California ballot measure to eradicate gay marriage, members of the clergy who refuse to perform same-sex marriages could be prosecuted.
The precedent, I think in Sweden there was a church, a priest who was jailed and I think since then released, but he was put in jail for not wanting to perform a marriage to a gay couple. So then they put him in jail because the law stated that you could not discriminate based on sexual preference, I believe.
However, regardless of the Proposition 8 amendment, under California law, no religion would be required to change its practices with regard to same-sex marriage. But the most ridiculous comment of the day goes to talk radio host Jim Quinn.
Gay sex produces AIDS. They should charge homosexuals more for their health insurance than they charge the rest of us.
For these stories and more, visit MediaMatters.org.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
And he's so humble when he writes that intro copy about himself, wouldn't you say? Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. Jason Leopold joins us next.
Smiling faces. faces. Sometimes pretend to be your friend. Smiling faces show no traces of the evil that lurks within. Smiling faces sometimes they don't tell the truth. Smiling faces tell lies, and I got proof. Oh Lord, yeah.
Jason Leopold can smell a lie from 500 or 1,000 miles away. He is the tireless investigative reporter who publishes at thepublicrecord.org, their website, pubrecord.org. And, Jason, you are observing the six-month mark of the public record. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. It's been quite a journey these past 6 months. It feels a lot longer, let me tell you. You know, I was just looking in our archives on the site, and there's more than 400 stories there.
Wow.
You know, written by many others as well.
I'll bet the Leopold count is half of that.
There's definitely a lot there. it's pretty amazing to, you know, have something that, to show, people that, you know, you were part of this history in a sense. So, I feel really good about that. And if I can just say that,
No, you can't.
Just one tiny, you know, little bit, if I just say that, you know, we're a nonprofit website.
Oh, sure, you can say
that. We really represent the, you know, the future of media, and we are desperately trying to stay afloat.
Yeah.
And, you know, if people are following the media, they will know that there are massive, massive cuts from everything from the Los Angeles Weekly, you know, Los Angeles Times, New York Times, Christian Science Monitor, ceasing publication.
Yep.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know, we really, really need, you know, the financial support of people. And
I want to second that because you do great work. You're a nonprofit setup, and you've been helpful to us as we've been struggling financially this year, too.
Yeah.
It's no secret that these are really hard times for independent media outlets, and I'm completely
really
independent.
Hard.
I do some work for Air America, but I'm not affiliated with them. I'm not affiliated with Nova M, and I'm not affiliated with any organized group. And it makes it difficult to operate in a corporate world where there has been consolidation in my industry that makes it much tougher for an independent. And likewise, you are up against the big guys, and you're doing incredible work, Jason. I put you on a par with Michael Isikoff
in
your coverage of the Alaska issues. When the corporate media pack got tired of Troopergate and the details of Sarah Palin's abuses of power, they just kind of moved on and accepted her false claim that she had been exonerated the first time from the legislative investigation.
Right. And, you know, we were the first news outlet, and it's right up there, as I said, on our site with the archives. We were the very first news outlet from day one, the very day that she was selected, to expose on the day, I believe it was August 29th, the myth of Sarah Palin as an ethics reformer. And from that moment on, you know, I can tell you that I stayed on top of it like, you know, whatever cliche you want to use, white on rice, you know, flies on duty, etc.
Well, and Jason, the only disappointment is I expected that since she's been talking to the media so much in, since the campaign ended, and the handlers left her alone, let her go completely rogue. I'm disappointed that you haven't gotten that exclusive interview right behind Greta Van Facelift.
Yeah. What? An interview, huh? I'm not sure. I may be one of those, you know, I certainly don't refer to myself as a blogger, but I may be one of those bloggers in his parents' basement in pajamas, as she was referring to.
Yeah.
Yeah, what an unbelievably soft and boring interview.
Now, let me ask you this, because I've seen a couple of soundbite clips from the Sustern interview of Palin, but I haven't had time to find it and watch it.
But has any of the interviews that has occurred since they let the fence down after the election asked her specifically about Troopergate issues? Because it seems they're mostly focused on hair, makeup, clothing, and the sniping going back and forth between her and Steve Schmidt, and what she claims are people in the campaign whom she can't identify.
Right.
Which, you know, let me just take one example. There's this description of her opening the door of a hotel room wearing a towel on her hair and a towel around her midsection and greeting two top campaign officials. I think one of them was Steve Schmidt.
That's right. That's the Newsweek behind-the-scenes report of what was happening during the campaign.
So she claims, well, these are anonymous charges coming from faceless people. Well,
right.
we know where that one came from.
Yeah, yeah.
And presumably some of the same digs about her not knowing that Africa's a continent and not knowing the participants in the North American Free Trade Agreement, those probably came from the same people.
You know, I think that, first let me just say that, I do think that that's not a surprise to people. You know, first of all, she did try to dismiss or say that it wasn't true. She about Africa being that she never said it was a country. But I don't think that's a surprise to people because I think that she, you know, had already come across as not being very intelligent. Certainly, you know, the fact for many people, it you know, she proved that she was somebody who really never ventured out of the state of Alaska. As far as Troopergate is concerned, she did make some brief mention about Troopergate, more or less saying that people need to move on. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what she said. She also said that you know, it was an investigation from the personnel board, which is where it should have been in the first place, and they found that I didn't, you know, that I wasn't didn't violate any ethics. Well, let me tell you that you know, the Troopergate issue, which has taken has gone back under the radar. There are numerous contradictions and questions that have come up with regard to that personnel board report and whether or not you know, the personnel board report and why it's so in opposition to the independent investigator report that the Legislative Council approved. First of all, the report by the Personnel Board, you know, says that she never spoke about Mike Wooten, her former brother-in-law, the state trooper, to Walt Monaghan, the person she fired. But there are emails that have that are already out there showing that from February 2007 that she did. Basically, these questions that are coming up, they're coming up now in the Alaska press, whether, you know, the word perjury is coming up, but also whether the, you know, Alaska Personnel Board just whitewashed this. And, you know, people believe that with the selection of a Democrat independent investigator that the Personnel Board chose, that perhaps this would have been, you know, equally as tough on her than the as the one that the Legislative Council approved. So there's still many questions surrounding that. And Peter, the Legislative Council reconvenes in January, so there's some downtime here for her. But certainly her approval rating, I mean, she in a matter of I guess it's what, 2 months, she lost a third. 30% of her approval rating. Now, she still is someone who enjoys a 60% approval rating. But, you know, what's interesting is that these interviews that she's giving are actually hurting her more than they're helping her.
Hmm.
So her approval rating continues to nosedive with each day that goes by that she is actually in, you know, in the national news.
Jason Leopold with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Read his work at pubrecord.org, P-U-B-R-E-C-O-R-D, pubrecord.org. And by the way, we just got word that the stream is back.
Trash.com.
Yes, we have many listeners who access the Peter B. Collins Show on the web, and it's one of these conundrums. When the web stream is down, it doesn't do any good for me to announce the web stream is down because the people who listen online can't hear that.
And they won't know it.
And when we say the web stream is back, anybody who's accessed it says, oh, I didn't know it was out. So we're back in case you were unable to find us earlier.
Hey, Peter, let me just also say that in case, you know, you said you only caught snippets of the interview yesterday, but
yeah.
If people are interested, they should know that Sarah Palin will run for president in 2012 if it's God's will.
Yeah. What was
God's
the line
will,
about
do that.
How if some door is open, she'll force herself through it? Or
yeah, if God opens a door,
yeah.
Crack, you know, she will walk right through it. But she needs to know that God is doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if that door is open, if God decides to open the door in 2012 for her, she is going to walk through that door.
Okay.
That was a very big part of the interview.
Let's just hope that Russia is on the other side of that door.
Right.
She can run against Putin.
Or a cliff.
Now, what is going on with the Senate race in Alaska? Because a couple of anomalies here. One is you just cited the falling popularity of Sarah Palin in her home state of Alaska, and that's understandable. But this was quite a race with two corrupt officials, the convicted Ted Stevens and the guy who's being investigated, longtime Congressman Don Young, Republican from Alaska. And so with all that attention, number one, we have curious turnout numbers for Alaska. They are below what happened in the primary, which occurred just in August. And we also have a really weird situation where more votes are counted every day, but the margin of victory claimed by Ted Stevens stays almost exactly the same at around 3,300.
Yeah.
And so it's really hard to understand. I'll put it this way. One must suspect chicanery to see this vote count proceeding in the way it appears to be.
Absolutely. I think that, first of all, you know, as you said, you know, Alaska was on the map with Sarah Palin's election, certainly with Ted Stevens' conviction, Don Young being investigated by the FBI. You know, you have a state that was right there, front and center. To have a turnout that is below 2004 just certainly doesn't make any sense. Now, there are more than, at this point, there's probably close to 90,000 ballots that still need to be counted. In fact, tomorrow the Secretary of State over there is going to, Alaska Director of Elections, they're going to start counting about 50,000 absentee ballots. It's definitely an issue, a situation that has occurred that has caused many people to, you know, scratch their heads, certainly pollsters. Ted Stevens is that race is just sort of a really good example of perhaps some chicanery that was, you know, that was taking place because, you know, going into the election last week, Mark Begich, I believe I pronounced his name correctly, the mayor of Anchorage, who was the challenger, I mean, he had a double-digit lead in the poll.
Well, Stevens' own pollster projected Begich as the winner.
Right. It absolutely, you know, doesn't make any sense. I got an email last week from Frank Luntz, another pollster who, you know, predicted the Democrat winning by a pretty large margin. So
and Frank Luntz is a Republican pollster. He's the Fox News Channel focus group guy.
Yeah. So, I mean, this was, it's still something that does not make any sense. And nobody is willing, other than, you know, some bloggers and some people that are in the state watching it are willing to actually come out and say, you know, what's going on here? This doesn't, perhaps the election was quote unquote stolen. It just defies logic.
Mm-hmm.
And, right now, you know, Stevens is leading by about 3,000 votes, but Mark Begich said that he was hearing a lot of talk about voters being purged from the rolls. I suspect that this is going to be a situation that we may not know the full extent of what happened there for some months to come.
Mm-hmm. And we haven't really heard about the elk vote, and that's the BPOE, the Benevolent Protective Order of elks. Maybe some elks with antlers actually voted up there too.
Well, that actually would be quite a sight. But the 2004. To think, first of all, they had a really huge turnout in registrations.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly for Democrats. One thing in terms of explaining, or at least this has been a theory, that the website 538.com, the number crunching website, came up with in terms of Stevens taking a lead, is they equated it to some sort of Bradley effect. People going into the people saying that they won't vote for Stevens because he was convicted of seven felonies, then going into the voting booth and voting for him, but just not wanting to admit it.
Yeah.
I don't really buy that. It's an interesting theory. People, still look at Ted Stevens as, they still, despite the felony convictions, he's Uncle Ted.
Yeah.
So.
Well, Bill Jefferson got reelected in Louisiana. People don't mind reelecting corrupt officials in certain cases. We'll take a break and we'll be back, Jason. We'll return in just a moment. Jason Leopold, read his work at pubrecord.org. And if you can peel off a 20 or more to help him out, I'd be much obliged. That's pubrecord.org. More in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Good afternoon. This is Fia with your KRXA 540 AM traffic report. Right now on Rio Road at Oliver Road, we have a traffic collision with no injuries. Vehicles are on the right shoulder. CHP is on the scene. Next, on Route 11 at Murphy Road, there is a traffic hazard. Train traffic has been stopped there. Now taking a look at southbound Highway 1 at Del Monte Boulevard North, we have a traffic hazard, so watch out there. Moving on to Santa Cruz on northbound Highway 17 just south of Mount Hermon Road, a vehicle is on fire, so be careful there. That's traffic on AM 540. Have a great afternoon and stay tuned for the Peter B. Collins Show.
At Homescapes Carmel, it's important to us that we appeal to both the senses and the sensibilities of our customers. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I invite you to explore, touch, and discover all the unique items we have at Homescapes in downtown Carmel. For importers like us, nothing beats finding eclectic and worldly things in their native lands and then bringing them home to Carmel by the sea. Homescapes Carmel is on the corner of 7th and Dolores, and as soon as you walk through the doors, you'll share in the thrill of discovery. We have a wide range of furnishings and accessories that exemplify wabi-sabi, celebrating the beauty, functionality, and morality of living green. At Homescapes Carmel, we're dedicated to our customers, to our employees, and to our community. We look forward to working with you to make your home the perfect blend of comfort, beauty, and individuality. Please stop by Homescapes Carmel on 7th and Dolores. We are open 7 days a week from 10 to 6. You can call us at 831-624-6499 or check us out at homescapescarmel.com.
Want to save money, have fun, and walk a little lighter on the planet? Listen to Tomorrow Matters, talk radio for a better tomorrow, weekdays from 2 to 3 p.m., right here on KRXA 540 AM. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, as we bring in the experts to discuss how to cut energy costs, how to build communities, and how to lower our ecological footprints. It's good for our pocketbooks, and it's good for the planet. And we have to, because tomorrow really does matter.
I'm getting a catcher's mitt.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a jigsaw puzzle.
I'm getting dying coral reefs.
A blue bicycle.
A walkie-talkie. I'm getting a severe drought.
Cool black skateboard.
I'm getting melted ice caps.
A killer heat wave. A shrinking glacier. I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming. But it's not too late.
we can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. The one snippet I saw from Sarah Palin's interview with Greta Van Susteren. Greta winked, looked at the camera, and said, "Hey, Rich Lowry. I didn't mean to turn you on. Just wanted to get your vote, dude." Tomorrow on the Peter B. Collins Show, among our guests, newly elected Senator Jeff Merkley of Oregon. He defeated Gordon Smith, and it wasn't that close. About 5 or 6 points separated them, but it took a little longer to get all those votes counted. So we'll get comments from Senator-elect Merkley on the program tomorrow. We continue with Jason Leopold from pubrecord.org. Dave's on the line from Eureka with a, looks like a good one. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, well, we listen every week to Brad Friedman. We listen on your program to the likes of Mark Crispin Miller, Loser Take All. Mm-hmm. Is it reasonable for a moment to start suspecting that Republicans have stopped tampering with elections?
Well, that's a complex question, Dave, because we know that in the pre-election day efforts to suppress votes, purge the rolls, and do everything they could to prevent likely Democrats from voting, there were efforts to manipulate this election in that manner. But we're still digging in. There is a theory surfacing, and I want to offer it as a theory at this point, that on the day before the election, Mike Connell was subjected to a deposition under Cliff Arnebeck, the attorney in Columbus, investigating the anomalies, what I think was a stolen election, in 2004. And that very night, Monday night, was when Karl Rove switched his prediction from, oh, McCain's going to win it in a squeaker and the votes will come in late at night on election night, to this is an electoral romp, an avalanche for Barack Obama. Jason, do you have any suspicions there?
Oh, absolutely. I think that certainly if you look at Karl Rove and, to me, the word timing is everything there, because anytime there's been, some sort of, court case or effort to perhaps reveal the truth, suddenly things just appear to go smoothly. I've certainly noticed that in the past, in terms of like investigations that he's been involved with. Maybe a document will turn up, but this certainly seems to be connected.
Well, Karl Rove doesn't want to get indicted again, Jason.
Right. One day, Peter. One day. I think you had it right, though, in terms of, I think that Republicans are certainly, continuing their efforts to, try and fix elections. We're seeing that right now with regard to Secretary of State in Minnesota, Mark Ritchie. If people want to check out, what's happening there, there's a massive smear campaign against him right now. His connection to Acorn, the fact that the Communist Party USA said he was a good candidate, and this is all related to the recount that's going to take place next week between Norm Coleman and Al Franken. Mm-hmm. So, there's a big effort there to try and that's after the fact, so that's obviously nobody's voting at this point. But that sort of effort is certainly what we saw beforehand, and it did lead to voter suppression. In fact, in Georgia, they purged Secretary of State can't even say how many people were purged from
right.
the polls.
Yeah, yeah. There is a runoff there, not a recount.
Right.
The law in Georgia requires that if nobody gets to 50%, that there has to be a runoff. So the first Tuesday in December, Saxby Chambliss will face his opponent again. And
also, if I could just say, in Minnesota, they have those, Al Franken went from a
700-point deficits, and now it's he's that shrunk to 200. You know, they have those optical scan machines there, which has been a problem again. In terms of the absentee ballots, there have been some that have been tossed out.
Right.
So, I think it still exists.
That'll do it, Jason. Thank you. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Peter.
Jason Leopold, pubrecord.org. Free Speech Zone is next. We're talking with Coach Dennis about how to get fit and get rich while helping others do the same.
That's right, Peter. You can earn extra money from your home or office on a part-time basis in the health and fitness world. Your health, your body, and your net worth come down to one thing, taking action. Control your own destiny. As an online fitness coach like me, you can begin creating a better life for yourself and your family with better health, more energy, and more financial freedom. Hundreds of other successful online coaches nationwide are getting fit and getting rich and living the dream lifestyle that comes with a thriving internet business. We'll train you and even give you your customers. It couldn't be easier. Get fit and get rich. It's all done part-time, it's all done online, and it's all done when you have the time. Call me now, 702-299-5789. No obligation, that's 702-299-5789, or visit us online at fitandgetrich.com. That's fitandgetrich.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. From the Federal Housing Finance Agency today, a sweeping plan to help troubled homeowners renegotiate delinquent loans. Commissioner James Lockhart.
This affordable payment will be achieved through a mix of reducing the mortgage interest rates, extending the term of the mortgage, or even deferring payment on a part of the principal.
And there's more help. CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus.
Citigroup is reaching out to about 500,000 at-risk homeowners to help them stay in their homes and avoid foreclosure. It's going to do this by working with these folks to come up with better terms to their mortgages, to see if there's a payment schedule that they can make and be able to stay in their homes. These are not people who are currently behind in their mortgage payments, but they are at risk because the neighborhoods in which they live are being especially hit hard by the economic downturn.
Mortgage modification does seem to be one trend toward keeping people in their homes in this soft economy.
It's an important step forward for a more comprehensive, streamlined standard to help with a loan modification workout solution.
Faith Schwartz, executive director of Hope Now, it's an alliance of mortgage lenders, used to be called Armistice Day. Now it's Veterans Day.
Here at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, two aging Marines trade Semper Fis and clasp hands. One with a patch that says, Shadow Warriors, Death in the Dark, poses, while the other man, a burly 10-and-a-half-year Vietnam vet, snaps a picture. Veterans Day here is a time to renew old acquaintances and make new ones.
It's a great way to do a little bonding and meet somebody brand new in your life.
Barry Bagnetto, CBS News at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial.
Veterans Day also means parades in cities large and small across America today. This one in Atlanta. It's less than $59 now. A barrel of oil costs less right now than it has since March of last year.
We're staring at a massive global recession kind of square in the eyes at this point.
Market strategist Mark Zeman says we can expect to see that price continue to drop.
The slide is continuing. You get the International Energy Agency cutting its oil demand forecast, slowing economic growth globally.
How bad is the current crisis in Detroit?
There's general agreement among economists that if the auto industry goes over a cliff, and they're real close, they could take the economy down with them. I mean, there are probably 2.5 million jobs at stake if the auto industry fails.
CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason says, yes, there is precedent for a bailout.
Famously, the government bailed out Chrysler in 1979, giving it a $1.5 billion loan, which Chrysler ended up paying back very early, just 4 years later. But circumstances are a little different now. First of all, we're talking about an entire industry, not just one company.
Congress is expected to address the crisis soon, maybe as soon as next week. Speaker Nancy Pelosi urging limited emergency financial assistance. The weather could put a chill on plans to launch Space Shuttle Endeavour Friday on a flight to the International Space Station. It is still a 60% chance it'll be a go. This is CBS News.
I'm Jake. I run my own auto body shop. Times are tough right now, I'll admit, but my dad started this business and he made it through plenty of lean years. So now I'm doing my best to keep track of every penny that comes in here and every penny that goes out. And Intuit QuickBooks software makes that easy. I can see all my finances all in one place, right on the computer. It helps prevent me from getting sideswiped by anything. That's a little auto body humor. Very little.
Intuit QuickBooks. Get back to business. Try it at QuickBooks.com.
I give my wife gold because I know that it makes her feel special.
Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry customer Larry Young, talks about why only gold is treasured.
I can tell her that I love her, but when I give her that little box and she opens it up, actions speak louder than words.
From classic to contemporary, only Jared offers five times the selection of truly distinctive gold jewelry, with prices from under $50 to over $1,000.
It can only be Jared.
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at Jared.com. Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry.
Baby needs a new pair of shoes, and CBS's Nick Young knows where to get them.
One company wants to make it easier for tens of thousands of needy kids to have a good pair of shoes. The company that owns Payless will be working with local nonprofits over the next couple of months to provide shoes at a reduced price or for free.
There's no strings attached. It's just come in, pick what you want, and get a pair of shoes.
Matt Rubel is CEO of Collective Brands Incorporated.
We want to get shoes on kids who need the most so that no kid is walking around with a shoe that's the wrong size or ripped and torn, but they can actually have hope and feel proud during the holidays.
Nick Young, CBS News.
1 month after giving birth to her own triplet grandchildren, an Ohio woman says she's feeling fine. The girls delivered by cesarean section, more than 2 months premature, each one weighed less than 3 pounds. The woman's daughter says the babies and her mom are all doing well. Grandma offered herself as a surrogate when her daughter and husband were waiting to adopt. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
Let's talk about the power of going home. At the end of a workday, we go home. The holidays, you head home. Late night and the party's over, maybe you don't go alone, but you still go home. Why? Going home makes us feel good. And in case you hadn't noticed, there's a home for your Cadillac. It's down your Cadillac dealer's Good Wrench service lane, where right now, at participating locations, it's Good Wrench and Go time. With Good Wrench and Go, you can give your Cadillac the home loving it deserves with an oil change, tire rotation, and a Good Wrench multi-point vehicle inspection all in one package. And while you're there, have them check your tires. Should you need them, they can recommend the proper tires for your Cadillac.
I can't stop thinking about it.
So, between now and November 30th, give it a go and make it Good Wrench and Go at your participating Cadillac dealer. One way to know if Good Wrench and Go is right for you, visit GoodWrench.com and click on Cadillac.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show as we launch into the free speed zone. Your calls and comments welcome, any subject, any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. My toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. You can use it, and we'll pay for the call. That's The Clash rocking us into this hour, a remake of the old Bobby Fuller 4 song, Bush Fought the Law, and Crew won. Melanie Sloan, ready to take another victory lap here on the Peter B. Collins Show. She's Executive Director of Crew. That stands for Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Congratulations, Melanie.
Thank you. It was a very nice victory yesterday.
Now, this has to do with those missing White House emails, their inability to produce them, and the legal action that you've taken to change that.
Right. Crew sued the Executive Office of the President and the Archivist and the Office of Administration, which is the White House Tech Office, about the missing emails. And we said that those, some of the missing emails are what we call federal records. And those are accessible to groups like CREW under the Freedom of Information Act. And they are also required to preserve them, because the Federal Records Act is a preservation statute at bottom and says that these records belong to the American people and they should be saved. And we sued when we discovered that over 10 million emails are missing between March of 2003 and October of 2005. And the administration said, CREW, you don't even have the right to sue. You don't have standing to sue. And then even if you could, you can't sue the executive office of the president over these emails. And the district court here in Washington, D.C. said, you know, wrong on every count, White House. CREW can sue, and you, the executive office of the president, have the obligation to preserve records. You are a proper party to this suit, and this suit can go forward. So it's not the beginning. But it is the end of the beginning, and we can move forward now, and it's a big victory to win when the White House sought to dismiss our case.
So the bottom line here is that the judge has given you permission to file an additional lawsuit, and this one should not be subject to challenge by the White House?
No, it's not that we'll file an additional lawsuit. It's that this lawsuit that we already filed can go forward.
Okay.
So what we'll be doing now is asking for discovery. Which means that we'll ask for depositions, that we'll ask for people in the executive office of the president to sit down and explain what happened to those missing email and why they didn't do their job and preserve them in accordance with statute.
Now, will you be able to depose people from the fourth branch of government, the vice president's wing?
Well, you know, this case is more about the White House itself. And so one of the people that I think we'll be seeking to depose will actually be former White House counsel Harriet Myers. Harriet Myers was apparently told about the missing email by the Office of Administration and given a plan to recover those emails and for some reason didn't take them up on it. We will also be asking people in the Office of Administration for information about the plan that they sent over. The interesting thing is that it used to be that there was an automated backup system for all White House emails, and that system was in place from 1994 to 2002. And in 2002, the Bush White House got rid of the system that was in effect, and it was outdated. So there's really no question that, you know, technology changes, as we all know, very quickly, and it's okay to change the system, but they didn't put in any new system when they got rid of the old backup system. So that's really the problem, and under the law, they had an obligation to make sure records were being preserved, and particularly once they found out they had a problem and they weren't preserving records, well, then there's a lot of questions about why they didn't go back and fix that. And considering that this is the beginning of the Iraq War and the Valerie Plame affair, it looks like there might have been some deliberate efforts not to recover those emails.
Now, Melanie, this may seem a little far afield, but James Bamford has this powerful new book out about the NSA wiretap program called The Shadow Factory. And in it, using all unclassified information, he offers a pretty persuasive description that virtually every email sent in the United States today passes through the switches that are diverting copies of every transmission, voice, data, email, text, every little variety, including voice over IP. All that is being captured by the NSA. And according to Bamford, anything that is recorded by the NSA is never destroyed. They have huge server farms that are getting bigger and bigger by the month to capture all this data. So can we properly infer that even emails sent from the White House that went through non-government communication channels, i.e. the Internet, were intercepted by the NSA and they've got a copy of all this stuff?
Well, from what you're telling me, it certainly sounds like it. And, Peter, I'm glad you're telling me about this because I'm going to have to look at this book and learn a little more and see if we can ask James Bamford to come in and give us a deposition and see if we can't use that in our lawsuit to find out about these missing emails and if we can recover some of them.
Yeah. I mean, the other person is who's quoted widely in Bamford's book, has been on our program several times. His name is Mark Klein, and he is retired from AT&T. But when he left for retirement, he took plans and drawings with him that offer evidence about the extensive nature and the wide scope of these intercepts. And I'm really angry about it. I want my Fourth Amendment rights back, and I'm bitter that the Congress facilitated the law-breaking and actually, you know, kind of papered over the law-breaking by giving immunity to the phone companies and the other aspects of that legislation. But the bottom line is that it does appear that our government should have copies of a good deal of that White House email traffic.
Like it, you know, they'll have some explanation about why those are the only missing email and why those are the only ones that NSA didn't pick up. But
yeah.
That's certainly a good chain of inquiry for us, and we'll look into it.
Now, Melanie, can you compare what you see as Barack Obama's record on transparency with the incredible efforts at secrecy that were attempted and generally succeeded at by this administration?
Well, this administration has been so secretive, it really sets new records for secrecy. Mr. Obama has certainly promised us a much better and a much different future. But really, Peter, you know, he's only been the president-elect for a week, so it remains to be seen what he actually does. It is really easy to talk about the need for transparency before you're in government and before you start wanting to keep away that pesky press when they're giving you such a hard time for all the decisions they don't like that you're making.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm certainly very hopeful at this point, and the Obama administration has already talked about having tough new ethical standards, not letting registered lobbyists come in and work for the administration on the issues they've been lobbying for, banning those who do work for the administration from lobbying for the full term of the administration. And so those are some pretty important changes. Some of them, in truth, might be really hard for the administration to live with. They might really find it difficult to get the expertise they need on some of their issues. So I think it's something that Crewe will be keeping track of going forward and seeing if the reality matches the rhetoric.
Well, I'd be willing to accept some exceptions if it's disclosed. For example, David Axelrod is a very high-powered advisor to President-elect Obama. He worked on his Senate campaign in Illinois, but Axelrod also has a client named Exelon, which is the largest chain owner of nuclear power plants in this country. Now, presumably, when he becomes a federal employee, Mr. Axelrod will no longer represent the interests of Exelon. He's not technically a lobbyist, but he has advised that company on political affairs over the years, and this creates a gray zone for the Obama policies. And I, for one, am willing to accept full disclosure of those interests and recusal when they come up in the line of duty as sufficient. What, you know, I do think Obama is sending a clear signal is that he doesn't want to see a lot of resumes coming over from K Street.
I think that's right, and I think that's terrific, and I don't mean to downplay the importance of the symbolism even of what he's saying. It's just that some of this turns out to be trickier in reality than it is in just in theory.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that there will be many people who will come over, as I think you and I have talked about before. You know, not everybody who works on issues is a registered lobbyist. It takes a fair amount of lobbying before you're required to register, and you might be doing an awful lot, say, for example, the big three automakers without necessarily being a registered lobbyist. And is that the person you want working on those issues, for example, in regard to the bailout of the auto industry?
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, you certainly want people who know what they're talking about in the administration. You want people who know something about the finances of the auto industry. So I think it's a very difficult line to walk.
Yeah. Melanie, just in the interest of disclosure, when Al Franken had his national radio show on Air America, you made a weekly appearance, just like you do with me, and talked with Al about the issues of corruption and ethical challenges in Washington. He is now embroiled in a very close race for the Senate seat in Minnesota. We think the gap is now down to about 200 votes between him and Norm Coleman. And Crewe has observed that Coleman has filed a lawsuit against Al Franken. What's the nature of that, and what are your concerns?
Well, the interesting thing is we've actually had to file, I had to file an affidavit in that lawsuit. Mr. Coleman sued Mr. Franken for saying that Mr. Coleman was the fourth most corrupt senator and that Crewe said so. Well, as you know, we put out a list every year of the most corrupt members of Congress. And while we don't rank them, there were four senators on the list, and Mr. Coleman was listed as a dishonorable mention. Three other senators were listed in the body of the report. So although we never said it that way, it does in fact make him the way, the fourth most corrupt senator. So I was a little surprised when I first read that they had done that, but I could see how they got it. And so Coleman sued Franken basically for libel, saying that that we hadn't said this, so we had to file an affidavit in that case. Obviously, all of this litigation will probably end as soon as the recount's done and we know who's actually elected to the Senate. Mm-hmm. But also in that, for full disclosure for your listeners, although I did in fact appear regularly on Mr. Franken's radio show when he had it a couple years ago, I have not been in any touch with the Franken campaign until I was asked to submit an affidavit in this case. And mm-hmm. certainly we don't take sides in political campaigns.
Right. And finally, Melanie, of those that you've identified as the most corrupt in Washington, did any of them get defeated at the polls this November?
Oh, yes, and I think the one that we can all be the happiest who got defeated, and really there are many, but Tom Feeney down in Florida.
Right.
Feeney is a Republican from Florida who was very involved in the Jack Abramoff affair. We have had him in our report 3 years in a row over his connections to Jack Abramoff. Finally, this year, he issued an apology about his relationship with Jack Abramoff, and his constituents just weren't buying it anymore, and he went down to defeat. So okay. That was a big victory for the American people.
And Dollar Bill Jefferson got reelected.
Yes, and really, I just can't explain that.
I won't ask you any further because I can't help you with an explanation. Melanie.
Ted Stevens looks like he's reelected, too. Similarly problematic.
Oh, we're not accepting that yet. We'll wait till every vote's counted. Melanie Sloan, congratulations on the White House case. We'll talk again real soon.
Okay, bye-bye, Peter.
That's Cruz, Citizens for Ethics. Wait a minute. Citizens? I'm having trouble with my acronyms today. Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington on the web, citizensforethics.org. Your call's coming up next. The Free Speech Zone is underway on the Peter B. Collins Show. Talk to me at 888-5-PETER-B.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with 2 hours of talk radio all about our daily challenges, our fears, changes, crisis, addictions. Over 1,700 of them, can you believe it? Using the 12 steps, the law of attraction, whatever it takes. Join me Saturday afternoons 3 to 5 with my guests and we'll find solutions together. The Sheila Show, Saturday 3 to 5 on KRXA, brought to you by Benji's Princess Monterey Whale Watching Trips. Open daily on Old Fisherman's Wharf, Monterey.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Mm-hmm.
Peninsula Gem and Jewelry in Monterey is like no other store on the peninsula. 30 years family owned and operated, Peninsula Gem specializes in finished jewelry, jewelry repair, and custom design. Supplying tools and materials for the jeweler and lapidarist from precious metals to cutting materials. Check out the spectacular Monterey Jade and other collectible minerals. Great gift ideas too. Peninsula Gem and Jewelry is at 2245 North Fremont Street, right next to Big Five in Monterey. Open Tuesday through Saturday. Peninsula Gem and Jewelry.
Good evening, this is Thea with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Right now we've got two vehicles on fire. The first one is in Santa Cruz on northbound Highway 17, just south of Mount Hermon Road. CHP is on the scene there. The second vehicle on fire is on southbound 101 at Echo Valley Road. Now taking a look at northbound 101 at Sanborn, there is a large block of wood in lane number 1, so watch out there. Moving on up to southbound 101 at Castro Valley Road, there is a traffic collision with no injuries. Now for weather. Your forecast for tonight is partly cloudy. Lows are in the mid to upper 40s. Northwest winds are 5 to 15 miles per hour. That's traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a great commute. The Peter B. Collins Show will be right back.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show featuring your telephone calls and comments in the free speech zone. I've got a couple of lines open if you want to hop on. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. If you prefer to send me a note, email peter@peterbcollins.com. Well, you know, sometimes the news and real events have a way of catching up with falsehoods. And it happened yesterday, and I credit Danny Schechter, the news dissector, with this observation. As you know, throughout the campaign, Sarah Palin kept saying that Barack Obama had been palling around with terrorists. We have the photos now to prove it. Yesterday, he was seen patting a terrorist on the back, posing for photographs with him, walking leisurely through the Rose Garden for photo opportunities. Yes, Barack Obama was seen consorting with known terrorist George W. Bush. And I want to credit Rachel Maddow for an excellent segment on her MSNBC broadcast last night about a story we first told you about on the show yesterday. The way the Treasury Department gave a $140 billion gift to America's banks by arbitrarily invalidating Section 382 of the tax code. We believe this is flatly illegal. But now members of Congress are worried about challenging the matter because, the banks might be nervous. It could produce a meltdown in the market. Well, this is another obscene theft, a white-collar crime that occurred right under our noses. And there's a fiscal impact on California because Wells Fargo has taken over Wachovia, and they qualify for a $2 billion tax relief for doing so because of the arbitrary repeal of Section 382 of the tax code. So that's another $2 billion hole in the California budget, a gift from the Bush administration to its capitalist cronies. Let's go to Jackie in Watsonville. You're up first in the free speech zone today. Jackie, welcome.
Yeah, hi, Peter. Yeah, I've been dying to know what you think about this. Okay, I'm losing my voice. Okay, head neocon Bill Kristol, to my knowledge, introduced Sarah Palin to the McCain camp as a possible running mate for McCain.
Yeah, he met her when he went on a cruise to Alaska a couple of years ago.
I understand that. I want to know is, were his motives pure when he did that? Because, look, he must have known. He's a bright guy. He must have known how really, truly inept Sarah Palin was and is.
Yeah.
And in other words, was he using McCain, figuring he's going to lose anyway, or he doesn't know any better? Because evidently his judgment is poor, let's face it.
Mm-hmm.
Was using McCain knowing he was going to, thinking he was going to lose anyway, not caring about him because I know he's not popular. I don't think he's popular with neocons. Was he using McCain or was he, did he honestly think she was smart enough to run? I can't figure it out.
Well, Jackie, it is hard to figure out because Crystal was a key figure in introducing her to the McCain team, and he has since distanced himself from that choice of her as the running mate. And all I can tell you is I cannot evaluate his motives. I can't get inside his head. But the New York Times has no business publishing an op-ed column every week from a guy who's a political operative and who doesn't disclose that in the very opinion pieces that he writes. He does not belong on the op-ed page of the New York Times, and I hope they realize that very soon.
Okay, is the neocon, is it all going to float out of here? Is it going to go down the tubes? What's going to happen? Is it going to get bigger? Is it going to shrink? What's going to happen to it?
I think it's going to redeploy as the Republican attack machine, and they will attack Obama the way they did Clinton for 8 years, looking for a vulnerability and a way to serve their own interests. So
well, you know,
we've got to keep our guard up and remain vigilant. Thank you for the call, Jackie. I'm out of time this segment. We'll take more of your calls here in the Free Speech Zone coming up next. My number is 888-5 Peter B. The Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Looking for a big city dining experience with local ma-and-pa prices and service? Look no further than Jim's American Chinese Restaurant at 8069 San Miguel Canyon Road, Prunedale, just behind Burger King. Stephen Lowe, master chef and co-owner of Jim's American Chinese Restaurant, brings to Prunedale his 35 years of experience in cosmopolitan San Francisco. Stephen serves traditional American and Chinese dishes with subtle, delicious French and Italian influences. Jim's has great meals for $10 to $15. For extraordinary food to die for and prices that won't dent your budget, make it a point to visit Jim's American Chinese Restaurant in Prunedale. Jim's is open Monday through Saturday, 11 to 9, and Sundays, noon to 9. At Jim's, you can dine in or take out. And catering is also available. Call 663-4888. That's 663-4888. To make reservations at Jim's American Chinese Restaurant, call 663-4888.
Quite continental.
Let me tell you about Chavez Jewelry Designs in Watsonville. Have you ever noticed how significant beautiful jewelry can be? A lovely diamond ring, special necklace, sparkling earrings, or a watch can be truly meaningful. When purchasing or repairing precious memories, having a friend in the jewelry business is critical. Chavez Jewelry Designs is your friend in the jewelry business. With Chavez Jewelry Designs, you will find the best products and repair service at the lowest prices. Stop by and check out Chavez Jewelry Designs, conveniently located at 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville's Crestview Shopping Center. Chavez Jewelry Designs is open weekdays 10 to 7. Call Chavez Jewelry Designs at 768-8004. That's 768-8004. A friend is waiting.
Sometimes things just make sense.
Sure, like buying a scooter when gas prices go crazy.
Or putting Sharp business equipment in your office.
How does that make sense?
It makes sense to have the number one digital copier in America working for you, right?
Sure.
Well, that's how it makes sense.
I get it, but...
Here, try this.
Since 1981, this family-owned business has been about one thing, results, which is why Tri-County Business Systems is a Sharp dealer. Sharp is technology-driven, featuring OSA, open systems architecture. You can customize applications that promote efficient workflow. And because they're built to last, your total cost of ownership is reduced for long-term results. If you're a QuickBooks user, Sharp's OSA system allows you to quickly scan directly into your client's folder right from the machine. So call Tri-County Business Systems at 758-1474 and learn more today. Tri-County Business Systems, 758-1474. Solutions that connect with you. Tri-County Business Systems.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, the Scott Dick Show. Weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
There's more than one side to contemporary affairs. In fact, there's usually more than two sides. On Thursday nights at 10, listen in on KRXA 540, and you'll hear at least four. You'll hear the perspectives of Mark Leonard, Tony Rudy, Billy Sunshine, and me, Jack Hart. We have guests bring their own expertise and experience to their analysis of current events. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for a different perspective. And on September 4th, our show will expand to 2 hours, and we'll start at 9 in the evening and go through to 11. Join us here on KRXA 540.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Your calls and comments, welcome in the free speech zone. The rules are bare minimum. You can talk about any subject, offer any viewpoint, and call me from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Proficiency in English and general coherence, those are a bonus. Lines open right now at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 1-888-573-8372. Pick up that iPhone, that fancy BlackBerry, and let me know what's on your mind. And up next, it's Harvey calling from the People's Republic of Berkeley. Hello, Harvey.
Hi, Peter B. How are you doing tonight?
I'm okay, thanks.
Good. I'd like to talk about Bush and FISA.
Yeah?
Well, so FISA is so interesting. The way it works, essentially, is say your kid hears something on television, picks up the phone and says it on the phone. There's computers listening, and they flag that. You know, if they hear certain words, they put that call aside for review.
You're right. They use very sophisticated voice mining and keyword searches.
That's right. And the same thing is true for the Internet. You know, words, as your emails fly around, any keywords can be picked up and that message put aside for review.
That's right.
So I really had a laugh when Barack Obama came in because his name, Obama, the word bomb, you know, I imagine that word is flagged and it must have been said a trillion times on the phone. So they must be backlogged with everybody's name there.
You think our pal Benny over at the NSA is just going crazy because Obama has bomb in it?
Well, that's the computers are, you know, they don't discriminate. They just pick up any word like that.
Uh-huh.
So there you go. They're most probably all choked up on the Obama word. If I have any advice for Barack Obama, I'd say check the White House and the Oval Office. You know, they say that our military has they're sophisticated. They're like 10 years ahead in terms of devices that we don't have yet. And so you can imagine the kind of listening devices that George Bush has at his disposal to plant in all over the White House.
So you imagine that there was a special military version of the Sharper Image catalog with special toys and tools for him?
Absolutely, to put the Sharper Image to shame. You know, dust that sees and hears sort of thing. So I would tell Barack Obama, really be careful with important stuff because they are there, they are listening. The Republican Party is listening in the White House to you. And these are the FISA guys. They love the FISA. And they're listening to you and everybody else. So,
well, I hope that Barack Obama has a special sense of responsibility here. As you know, I want my Fourth Amendment rights back. I believe that they were seriously impinged on by the FISA amendments that you're referring to that were passed this summer with a vote from Senator Obama repudiating his promise
to
oppose any legislation that included immunity for the telephone companies. And you know what he owes us? He owes us a revisit on that entire policy, and they should rip up the FISA law that they passed last year. And there are issues. For example, if you read Jim Bamford's book, there was a situation that developed in the 90s because with the advent of the Internet and fiber optic communications, the way the NSA used to be able to monitor all the international and long-distance calls was because they were beamed by satellite, and it was real easy for them to intercept satellite communications with or without a warrant. Well, they claim that this started after 9/11, but we know some of the wiretaps were requested starting in February of 2001. Still, they claim that it was necessary to update the FISA law. Well, I'm fine with updating it, but I want my Fourth Amendment rights to probable cause and a requirement that a court order be issued before my conversations are monitored, intercepted, recorded, or transcribed. And that's where I want to see Obama take the law, and I think that we need to work hard to challenge him to do so.
Yes, absolutely. You know, like everybody has, unfortunately, gotten into self-editing what they say. Everybody's like, they're doing it themselves so that their words don't go out and are picked up by the FISA. And I think it's really diminished our communication and our society on absolutely every level.
Well, now, I agree, Harvey, and I want to again recommend the book Shadow Factory by James Bamford, because it will shock you. This is all based on unclassified information, and it explains in detail how much of our domestic communications. Don't believe the stuff that this is a terrorist surveillance program and they only capture calls coming in from Osama's satellite phone. In fact, Bamford publishes the number that you used to be able to call to reach Osama bin Laden's satellite phone. I don't think it's operating anymore, but it is fascinating to see and chilling to know that the members of Congress who voted for the FISA law this year probably didn't even know as much that James Bamford has published unclassified in this new book. And it is stunning, and it's something we really need to work hard to recover our Fourth Amendment rights.
Ooh.
Benny, are you listening to me today, Benny?
Hello. NSA, I just called you to say I love you.
I love you
because you,
because you
really listen. Now when I'm on the phone, well, I never feel alone. You're out there with your headphones.
Hello.
And you really listen.
That's Roy Zimmerman. I hope he gets a Grammy for that song. He'll probably just get his name on the no-fly list, though. Go to RoyZimmerman.com if you want to find out more about him and his wacky political satire, folky-type songs. Now to Steve in Elk Grove. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today, Steve.
I haven't talked to you for a while because I lost my local signal, but one of the things I did get in the KGO before the election and talk to them about was this situation with Sarah Palin when she was accepting the nomination to be the GOP vice presidential nominee candidate. She stated that terrorists should have no rights given to them by the United States Supreme Court. And I remembered how I used to be considered a terrorist by the United States Marshals when I was actually making a treason disclosure to the very judge that appointed me to be a special federal prosecutor, and they got caught red-handed locking me out of the court and then going and lying to him that they hadn't seen me all day when two of the marshals were with him when he made the appointment. So I got in a couple of months later and made a 48-and-a-half-minute presentation to the court how the U.S. Marshals and the federal attorney had been committing on view acts of war, technically, against the United States. So I think it was a great training session for the federal attorney. I think we had some help from the military intelligence services, because an attack on the court is an attack on the United States. That's why the Civil War started. In Lincoln's words, he sent the U.S. Army down there and the Navy to blockade the Confederate States because the U.S. Marshals could not serve federal orders of the courts in accordance with the U.S. Constitution, and the U.S. Army could not back up the U.S. Marshals. That's the reason the Civil War started, if you read the executive order written by President Lincoln in, I think it was March of 1861. So most people aren't aware that that the courts are, the federal courts are probably the best place to go to report an act of war against the United States, because Congress requires you by statute to either go to the president, a governor, a federal judge, or a state judge. And you can't get, if you go to the state judge, they'll say, well, it's a federal matter, an attack on the United States is a federal issue. You can't get to the president because it's pretty hard to get to somebody that busy. And you can't get to a governor in a state like this that has 37 million people in it. So you have to go to the federal courts. And now with the, under the FISA law, you can be locked out of the federal courts because you're supposedly a terrorist unless you have up-to-date federal or state ID. And in fact, I...
Now explain what you mean there, Steve, because I don't quite get the connection.
Okay, when I made the disclosure to the chief judge, I met him on the first floor of the courthouse there at 450 Golden Gate Avenue, the Philip Burton Combination Courthouse.
And, yeah, I know the building.
Okay, right. Mm-hmm. So I went in there, and he made a point. Well, I had a witness. I said, Your Honor, I have an emergency matter I must present to you at your earliest possible convenience. He said, fine, Steve. He knew me by my first name. In fact, he asked me if he could help me before I said anything. And he said, well, I'll see you up on my courtroom in the 20th floor, courtroom 19. I'll see you up there in a few minutes. And then U.S. Marshals arrested my witness and myself and removed us from the building. Mm-hmm. And the judge, according to his wife, when I called her a few months later, thought that we were assassinated by the U.S. Marshals. So he had called them in, and they said they knew nothing about the appointment he made with me, including the two marshals that were standing next to him when he made the appointment. Well, you know, that technically has an act of war against the United States, and the judge thought that my witness and I were assassinated.
Okay, but I'm trying to understand a connection to FISA.
Okay, FISA, I went back to the federal court a few months ago. I was in San Francisco. And I found that there's a different security system now where you actually get locked out of the entire federal building unless you have federal or state ID, and then you have to pass through metal detectors. It used to be that that sort of security was in front of the elevator when you got into the courthouse section of the building.
Mm-hmm.
They would check you. But now everybody going into the building gets checked this way. Well, if you don't have a state ID or federal ID, even though the Congress requires you to report acts of war you have knowledge of as soon as may be, you can't do it because you don't have the ID, and sometimes you don't have that much time to goof around and try to get one, even if you could get one. So FISA has made it so that people can't even get into the courts, which is about the only practical place you can go to report acts of war against the United States.
Okay. I don't quite see the connection here, because the FISA law relates to, you know, wiretapping and surveillance. It doesn't relate to security of federal buildings.
Well, what's the Patriot Act? I'm sorry, I should have said the Patriot
Act. Okay, Patriot Act, yes.
Right.
Yeah, Patriot Act is the police state document that created all kinds of new enforcement powers and took away rights of citizens, and that is a very critical issue. So, yes, on the Patriot Act, I certainly see that connection.
Okay, then. All right.
Mm-hmm. All right, Steve, well, thank you for calling today,
sure.
And I appreciate those remarks. Very interesting. Chris now in Salinas. Welcome to the Peter B. Show today.
How you doing, Peter?
I'm okay. How about you?
I'm doing okay.
Good.
What I don't understand this GM bailout. I mean, here's another situation where billions of dollars are going to be thrown at some corporation with no debate on the House floor or anything. I mean, we don't know. I mean, for one, you can give all the money to GM and Ford. People can't buy their cars. Then what good is giving them all these billions of dollars, you know? And are they going to give out, pay their shareholders and such? I mean, I just don't understand how can they, you know, Nancy Pelosi's just going to ram this through. And then Bush says he wants the Colombia Free Trade Agreement to go through.
Yeah.
The Democrats will probably capitulate on.
Well, now, wait a minute. First of all, I share your concerns, okay? But specifically on the Colombia Free Trade deal, Rahm Emanuel, who's in favor of it, has announced that Obama is against it and that the administration, the incoming administration, does not want to see the Colombia Free Trade Act attached to stimulus or bailout legislation. So that part, you know, is separate, and it doesn't trouble me at this point. But I share your concerns in general about a bailout for General Motors or anybody else in Detroit at this point. They are responsible for their own financial condition. And while, yes, they got hammered in the sales market in October, that's not my fault. That's not your fault. And the problem that I see is that the government is in this process of identifying winners and losers in the banking industry, winners and losers in the automotive industry. And this is a government interference in the so-called capitalist system that on the one hand is amusing to a lefty like me, and on the other hand it's infuriating to see these captains of industry who have always preached, low tax, no government interference, we're the rough and tumble capitalists and we'll live or die at our own hands. Well, they've got their hands out right now. And one of the things that we know is that if the government gives GM money, they will still probably lay off more workers, gut union contracts, and continue to repudiate their obligations to retirees, both union members and non-union members, who they have cut off from health care coverage in the past 6 months. And so I just see it as a downward spiral. And as you may have heard over the years from my ravings, Chris, I believe that the biggest bailout that Washington can give to Detroit is single-payer health care coverage. That is the thing that will level the playing field and allow Detroit to rise or fall on its own merits.
You know, General Motors is already saying they're going to cut 2,000 jobs. But what infuriates me the most on this whole deal is that they are not debating this on the, there's no discussion, and there's not even any public input, I don't even know what they're doing. I don't even know what the plan is.
Well, you're right. So, and it's lobbyists who have contributed to political leaders who are negotiating these deals and carrying the messages back and forth from, say, Rick Wagner at GM to Harry Reid and to Barack Obama. And I'm very uncomfortable with that. It's not transparent. And it is our money that they're handing off to these corporate interests. And, Chris, I don't know if you saw it, but back when a bailout was first floated for Detroit automakers, a group took out a full-page ad in the New York Times, and it turns out there are more than a dozen independent startup automakers. One of them is Tesla Motors, which is located on the peninsula in San Carlos. They're building an electric sports car that I think is going to go out on the market next year. And there, like I said, there are almost a dozen of these smaller, independent, more technologically advanced automakers, and they should be given some support. I don't know that it's a bailout needed, but, hey, offer them some tax credits, offer to have the federal government buy the first 500 cars that they make. There are a lot of different ways that we could stimulate production in a healthy manner. But I agree with you, just handing off billions in cash to General Motors isn't going to help anybody.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. There are so many companies out there that could use stimulus to further, their technologies, and we're just giving it to old technology corporation who's all along denied, or put aside CAFE standards and such that would actually bring people to buy their cars.
And Chris, General Motors decided in June of this year that the SUV is dead. Couldn't somebody have told them that? They spent tens of millions of dollars to develop the next generation of SUVs and then said, oh, I guess we missed the market. Chris, thanks for your call.
All right, thanks a lot. Have a good one.
Thanks for your concern and your activism, too. More of your calls coming up next. The Free Speech Zone continues. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins, 10 minutes before the hour.
KRXA 540. Progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Good evening, everyone. This is Fia with your KRXA 540 AM traffic report. Taking a look at King City, we've got two incidents happening right now. On northbound 101 at Route 14, there is a traffic hazard with no further details. Next, on northbound 101, just north of Canal Street, there is a traffic hazard. A sofa is in lane number 1, so watch out there. We have a traffic collision on Route 12 at Las Lomas Drive. The roadway is blocked right now, and a tow truck and CHP are both on the way. On southbound 101 at Echo Valley Road, we're still keeping an eye on a vehicle on fire. CHP is on the scene there. That's traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a fantastic evening and enjoy the full moon. The Peter B. Collins Show is coming right back.
Thank you.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Sha la 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 la. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Continue on the PBC show. If you're unable to call in, I understand. Send me an email. I like to hear from you with feedback, pro or con. 888-5-PETER-B is the number to call, or email Peter at peterbcollins.com. Here's Nick in Arcata listening on the mighty 1480 KGOE. Hi, Nick.
Hey, Peter. How you doing?
I'm okay today.
I've got a couple. You were just chatting with somebody about our car companies and what have you.
Sure.
And I've got two points I'd like to make, and then you can, you know, see if you can, you know, take them down, okay?
All right, go.
Okay. Well, number one, our government does not really protect our car companies like all the other governments do. Look at Germany. They protect their car companies. Japan protects their car companies.
Mm-hmm.
All of them do, okay? And our, you know, our government's kind of been hands-off on that. And also,
that's the free trade that our car companies wanted so that they could build cheaper vehicles with lower labor costs, say, in Mexico.
Well, I'll agree with that to a point, but mm-hmm. they were almost forced into it because of the fact that they have to come up with 12 to 15% of every single car goes into health care costs for
right.
their people, correct?
Yeah, yeah. We agree
okay.
on that.
Now,
yeah.
why do we have to, you know, our car companies have to labor under that deficit mm-hmm. where, you know, Peugeot and Audi and all the other car companies around the world don't have to deal with that. I mean, they're starting out, you know, hamstrung.
Well, and even Toyota and Nissan factories in the United States have much younger employees who don't get cradle-to-grave health care, and so their costs are reduced as well. So I'm with you.
Okay. So I just think, and also look at the tariff situation. You know, China can send parts over here at 2%. And we have, if we want to sell anything over there, it's 20-25%.
Mm-hmm.
That's not fair either. So they're kind of, you know, in a way that they're really not being treated fairly on the world market because it is not a free trade situation.
I understand that, and I'm open to protectionist policies. Okay, I'm not a free trader. I'm a fair trader.
There you go.
And I would like to be protecting American manufacturing by offering some tariffs on imported cars from other countries. I can support that.
Okay, well, it just seems fair. But the thing is, okay, maybe they do need some sort of assistance because, you know, they really haven't had a fair shake in this stupid you know, idiotic Republican, you know.
No. Nick, they kept the mileage standards as low as possible through a combination of Bush administration officials and friendly members of Congress, including Democrats like John Dingell and Carl Levin. And so Detroit has been promoting what it thought was its self-interest, saying, you know, we want to keep the tax deduction for vehicles that aren't really trucks, you know, like SUVs,
yes,
but, you know, they qualify for that exemption as a truck. And so Detroit's been playing games with Washington in denial and in defiance of the reasonable efforts to improve mileage standards and reduce emissions. And now they've cornered themselves financially, and they're looking to us for a bailout. Well, as I said, the only thing I'm really willing to give them is universal single-payer health care, and it's not limited to Detroit auto manufacturers. I want it to go to every manufacturer, every business in this country.
Sure would make us competitive, wouldn't it?
Yeah. It would make a big difference. And after that, you know, I am sympathetic. I want to keep American auto manufacturing alive. I don't want to see us become, you know, exclusive importers of automobiles. But we can't be responsible for bailing out the intentional misjudgment of automakers, bankers, or insurance executives.
But didn't some of that have to do with just the will of the people? Oh, actually,
well,
you know, on there.
I don't know.
People were buying big cars, too, you know.
Yeah,
they weren't
because,
just shoving them down their throats.
Yeah, but gas was cheap, and so were the vehicles.
Okay.
All right, Nick, great to talk with you. Thanks for the argument. I always love to get some contrarians on the program. We'll do it again tomorrow. Hope you'll join me then. Grab a podcast. Share it with a friend. The link's on my homepage at peterbcollins.com.
Are you tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer, and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call My Computer Works now, toll free, 888-629-9618. That's 888-629-9618. 888-629-9618.
My Computer Works. Does yours?
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. It's like a life preserver being thrown to struggling homeowners. CBS News correspondent Bill Whitaker.
For homeowners drowning in mortgage debt, help is on the way. Today, the Federal Housing Finance Agency, which recently took control of mortgage giants Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, threw a lifeline to help keep homeowners afloat by modifying their loans.
This affordable payment will be achieved through a mix of reducing the mortgage interest rates, extending the term of the mortgage, or even deferring payment on a part of the principal.
The impact could be substantial. Fannie and Freddie own or guarantee half of all U.S. home mortgages, nearly 31 million of them. And it bolsters similar initiatives by other mortgage holders.
Shares of General Motors shares plummeting to a 65-year low today. CBS's Anthony Mason.
GM is burning through cash at the rate of $2 billion a month. Their sales were down 45% last month. They are really right on the edge of going into bankruptcy.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is confident that Congress will act on emergency legislation next week. Veterans Day across America, marked by parades like this one in Austin, Texas, and by ceremonies like this one in Washington.
A standing ovation here at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial for U.S. soldiers seated in the front row, wounded in Iraq and Afghanistan. A reminder that a new generation of warrior vets is being created. Fresh wreaths and flags have been placed at the wall here below the names of the Vietnam dead. Women who served in Vietnam are being honored this year. A band of sisters, they're being called.
And the sun is shining on us! Woo!
Barry Bagnato, CBS News at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial.
Just hours after the Federal Reserve announced an infusion of another $40 billion into AIG, we learned that the alien insurance company had just held a sales meeting at a luxury spa resort. AIG officials maintained the meeting was a legitimate event. It helped train about 150 independent financial advisors. This is non-binding, but the AMA does have some new rules for insurance companies.
It will be a code of conduct for health insurers to guarantee they put the needs of patients first. The Medical Society of New York argued many insurance companies put in place medical policies